Is the 27th of February in the year 2002. We are continuing in the Gemara Megillah. We are on Daf Tes Zayin Omid Aleph, and we are now 8 lines from the bottom of the page, and of course we'll continue on the next page tonight as well. We may even possibly finish the chapter. We'll see how it goes. Okay. I see I'm already hoarse. I should have taken that candy before. As long as we're talking about candy, please help yourselves. So you're reading the Megillah and everything else. It's not kind to my throat. All right. We have reached that point in the story where, as you heard a few moments ago when we repeated the last part of the previous tape, that Esther finally confessed that she is a Jewess, and she also says that it is Haman's intention to murder all the Jews. And she called it Ish Tzav Yoyev, and as we saw, that the Malach came and he pointed her finger towards Haman instead of towards Achashverosh, who also, sof kol sof, he was also involved in Haman's conspiracy in order to kill the Jews. That's all. Did he ever say no to Haman? Never did. As a matter of fact, he told me he could keep his money. So it's all the more reason, I mean, to suspect that he was not the great Tzaddik, you know. Perhaps some people want to paint him. Okay. So now, the next quotation tells us, "Va'belech kom v'chamosam." The king arose in his anger. And so they asked the following question. Okay? Va'melech kom, okay, v'chamosam. And then it says, as the pasuk continues, says, "Va'melech shov meginas habisa." Right? And then the king returned from the garden belonging to the palace. Okay? Remember what happened is that he got up in his anger and he decided, and he ran into the garden in order to, not to know what to do. And then it says that he came back again to them. So the Gemara says, Makish, which means it compares Shiva Lekima, is coming back to when he arose. Makima, just as when he got up, it was Bechema, it was an anger. So off Shiva Bechema. So the same thing, when he came back again into the royal chamber over there, he was full of anger. So the question is, why was he so angry when he came back, as compared to the fact, maybe while he was in the garden over there, he could have cooled off a little bit, calmed himself a little bit, okay? So they answer, this is what happened, they say. Okay, the Ozil, the Ashkacha Malachi HaShores, when he went out into the garden, he found angels, the Idmulei Kigavri, who appeared to him as men. The Koakre Neonodes Bustoni, and what were they doing? They were tearing down the trees of his garden. The Yomaluhu, and he said to them, "My Uvdaichi, what the heck are you doing over there?" So, Obrulei, so they said to him, "The Fakidon Haman, we're following the orders that Haman gave us." So, in other words, Haman told us to cut down the trees in the garden. So, also, what they say, he came back now to his house, the Haman no fail alamita, and there is Haman falling on the bed upon which, of course, Queen Esther was, right? And the Gemara asked the question, says, "No fail, falling, no fall me boyle." Should have said he fell upon the bed, right? So why does it use a present tense? So Omer Rabbi Elozer, said, "Milami, the teachers of Shebo Malach, that an angel came, he pilu aleha, and he pushed Haman down upon it." Omar, so what did the king say? He said, Vay mebeso, woe is me, what's going on in my house over here? You know that Haman wants to attack my queen, right? Vay mebora, and woe to me as to what we find outside, namely what? Cutting down my trees, my precious trees. What's going on over there? By Yomer HaMelech, and the king said, Hagam, Nechboshes HaMalko, Imi Mapoes, is he going to attack my queen here while I'm still in the house? So then, okay, so we understand, you know, what happened, of course, after that. Now along comes Harbona, by Yomer Harbona. And he was the one who said, what? God be the awaits a share, also Haman, and so on and so on. You know what? He says, there is the gallows which Haman has prepared in order to hang Mordecai on it. Okay? So Rabbi Elazar. So Rabbi Elazar said, Av Chaveinu Rosh Ha'Hoyam. Says, you think that Chaveinu was such a tzaddik? Although I have to tell you, you know, when we finish Shoshanas Yaakov, one of the last words, Megab Chavona Zochlatov, right? We say that he also be remembered for good. Just as we mentioned Baruch Mordechai and Baruch Esther, and so, you know, these are the goodies, to say nothing of the baddies, you know, like Oru Haman and Aru Zeresh, okay? But Megab Chavona. However, according to the Gemara, Chavona was not such a tzaddik either, you see. He says over here that Chavena was a wicked. Chavena was also wicked, and he was part of the same plan to do what? Yeah. Same plan to have Mordechai hung. Question is, how do you know that? So the answer is, how would he know that Haman had prepared the gallows to hang Mordechai if it weren't for the fact that he was in cahoots in some way or other with Haman? You understand? This is the idea over here. So, but Kevin Sharaov, when he saw Shalonis Kaimah Tzosei, that, you know, this plan, you know, to hang Mordechai was not going to be fulfilled, so Miyad Borach, so immediately he fled, meaning, of course, he fled, you know, from the that particular Eitzah, and, of course, in other words, now he decided that the time had come to do what? To side with Mordechai, right? V'hainu d'ksiv, and this is a fulfillment of the pasuk that we find in the book of Yov, in the book of Job. It says, V'yashlech alav v'lo yachmol miyado borach yivrach. Okay? Which means, God will cast whatever may be upon him, unless they cast punishment upon him, and not take pity. In other words, this is a reference to whom? To Haman, that God is going to punish him and his anger against him. And at the same time, miyodo barach yivrach, and others will flee from the person who is being so punished. In other words, applying it to Harbona, he is fleeing from being punished together with whom? Being punished together with Haman. Yeah.
This question has always troubled me.
Yeah.
At the time that Esther says,
Right. Haman Arad said, right.
Why at that time, Haman, for all that we criticize, was supposed to be a very shrewd and astute individual, otherwise he would have gotten to his powerful position. Why at that time did he say, wait, just a minute, you were the one that gave your ring to me, and I wrote a royal decree in your name, and no one else can write a royal decree unless the king approves it. You at least co-authored, designed, or helped in this process. Why all of a sudden am I now evil? I just was kind of coordinating with what you were doing. Did it never occur, that it flee from his mind to do this?
Okay. You ask a good question. Frankly, I don't think that anybody else has asked the same question, but, for a lawyer, Makes sense. That's such a question. Okay. In other words, he should have pleaded with the king and say, hey, you're exactly along the lines of what you're saying, right? But first of all, I have to say, Haman himself was not in a very good state at this particular point. The ending of the previous chapter says, you know, after he had led Mordechai in triumph throughout the city and saying, you know, this shall be done to the man who the king delights to honor, right? So he returns home, as we read, right? Orville, saddened, literally in mourning, right? Vechafui Rosh, with his head covered, and we explained, you know, what happened, that his head was covered, but what was it covered, you know? And the very next phrase that it says, and we translate it sort of like they hastened to bring him, you know, to the banquet at this very moment. But what did the Gemara say? It means that they brought him to Behola. In other words, he was all mixed up in his own mind at this point. So maybe he had no ability at this particular point in order to plead along the sane and rational lines, I mean, that you're suggesting. Okay?
No, that occurred
to me. Right. Right, okay. And I'd like to add another thing. The king was very angry with him. And it could very well be that if, you know, that even if he had tried to plead anything, it might not have availed him.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, Beverly?
Isn't there something where he's, when he's with the queen, he stays behind to try to get her, to plead with her?
That's how he came to fall on her bed.
Yeah, so right. Maybe he figures there's no hope with the king.
Right.
So
yeah, in all probability, when right, he probably wanted to try to ask Esther to intercede for him. But the king comes back and he sees, and it looks as though, you know, he's ready to attack the queen over there. You understand?
Did his wife also tell him that he was going
to
lose?
Yes, of course, right. This is what we read, right. That Zeresh had said to him, you know, that... Mordechai, right, that you know, he is from the seed of the Jews. So once you've begun to fall before him, then you'll continue falling before him, and so on, right?
I have another question.
Yes.
I don't want to go far afield, but
The
Megillah Esther.
Mm-hmm.
We take it that it was written by Esther.
Well, it's written about Tirta of Esther, Bas Avichael, and so on, right. Which means that Esther, the daughter of Avichael, and Mordechai HaYehudi,
they
wrote.
Now,
what did they write? They wrote the story of Purim and sent it around to all the provinces of the king in order to tell the Jews that they should fulfill the various mitzvahs that celebrate Purim.
Right.
Yeah.
So now, does that, what they wrote, is that the actual Megillah that we read? Is that what they wrote, or did that get written elsewhere at another time?
Well, we don't know that anybody else wrote the Megillah except for Esther and Mordechai.
Okay,
we presume that they were the ones who were the author of it.
So my question is, now the Talmud is dealing with the Megillah,
right?
And they're giving it almost the same treatment as they do when they're dealing with the... When they're dealing, you know, like with the Torah, they're taking the language, the actual words, and why is it this word and not that word?
Yeah.
In other words, they are giving it the same examination.
Yeah.
And there is no thought that this is, that God wrote it, as we say, with the Torah. Do you follow my question? They are, in other words, they're examining it. It is one of the sacred books. We accept it as one of the sacred books.
Yes.
But we don't say it's God or God's authorship as we say with the Torah. And
no, it's a different category.
It's a different category. But they are still examining.
But we say that it was still written, it was written by the authors, but Ruach HaKodesh, that's what we had way back at the beginning of the Bible. It was a machlokes, it was a different opinion, but the prevailing opinion is that Esther, Ruach HaKodesh, that the book of Esther was written with the Holy Spirit, you know, in other words, that they had divine inspiration in writing it.
That it was still
divine. Right.
And she is not included among the names of the prophetesses that we Is she included among the names of the prophetesses?
There were seven, right.
Seven.
We had Sarah, we had...
Yeah. Was she included? Was Esther among them?
We mentioned her when you say Slickus. You mentioned Mordecai and Esther.
No. So?
Nothing.
So?
Well,
they mentioned another Megillah. Okay.
The Rebbe said in a Fabring, in the Lubavitch Rebbe, said that Purim and Hanukkah will be the two biggest holidays in the Shiach.
There is an opinion that says that these two holidays will continue even after the Beis HaMikdash is built and so on and so forth, right? In the days of the Mashiach, they'll still be celebrated. Right? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So that's what he based it on.
I think I had an English translator.
Okay. Otherwise, it wouldn't have been a Fabrengen. You know what Fabrengen means? Literally means Fabrengen really means that enjoyment or something. Yeah, of course. I mean, you get together in order to enjoy each other's company, or to enjoy.
So right. Sometimes 4,000 people.
Cain and Hora.
Way up high.
Yeah.
Packed, let's say.
Yeah.
Listen to the
Rebbe. So who do they listen to now? That's what I want to know.
And people came from different shtibbles. You see Satmir's there and everything.
Yeah.
They don't have that going on.
A big draw, tremendous draw.
Well. Somebody is running the Lubavitch organization. They probably have a committee of people who are doing it. But there's no Rebbe. There's no Rebbe.
There's nobody in Lubavitch who can even touch his heels for knowledge.
Yeah.
Nobody.
Oh, he's a great Talmud Chacham. There's no question about that. Right, yeah. Okay. Anyway, to get back over here. All right. So we disposed of Chavona right now. And he said that he joined the winning team, right? He joined Mordechai's team instead of Haman's team. Okay. Then, we're at the third line from the bottom, in the middle of the line, and it's written, Chabas HaMelech Shechocha, which means that the king's anger quieted down. Now, if you compare this word Shechocha with the word that we have at the beginning of the second chapter in the Megillah, where it said Tishoch Chamas HaMelech HaShverosh, okay? Or if we compare it, for example, in the story of Noach and the flood, where it's written Vayoshoku Hamayim, the waters literally quieted down or subsided, but quieted down is really the closer translation of it. How many chofs do you see there? One. Okay? Kishoch. It's only one chav, okay? Then here it's written Chamas Melech Shechocha. In other words, how many chavs do we have over here? We have two. Shechocha. We have two chavs over here. So this is what they ask. They say, Shnei Shechichos Halonu Lomo. What do we need? Two of them? So he says, Achas Shel Malko Shel Olam. In other words, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam's anger also calmed down. The Achash and Achashverosh, and also Achashverosh, his anger also calmed down. Okay, so that's why it has two chavs. The Amr Lo, but there are those who say, no, it's a little different. The reason is Achash Shel Esther, the Achash Shel Vashti. Meaning in this particular case, the king calmed down, right, first, because of what seemed to be an attack upon Esther. By whom? By Haman, right? And one by Vashti, who also, according to our tradition, if you remember, was put to death on the advice of whom? Of Haman. Because they identify Haman with Memuchan, who gave the Eitzah, that she should be put out of the way, okay? Yeah. So that now the king is no longer angry because Haman has been punished for these two attacks upon his two queens, one Esther and the other Vashti. All right. Now, at this particular moment, there is a slight digression. Because all of a sudden, in the middle of everything, what happens? They bring a quotation from the story of Yosef and his brothers. Okay, the scene is as follows. The brothers don't know who Yosef is, right? But Yosef, of course, he knows who they are. He recognizes them, but nevertheless, he has an interpreter and so on and so forth, you know, to make believe that he doesn't understand Moshe Kodesh that they were speaking. And he invites them to come to his house for a banquet, right? And this is after he had already freed Shimon from prison also, whom he had kept as a hostage, to make sure that they would return together with whom? With Binyamin. All right. And it's written over there in that connection, it's written, the Chulam Nosan Ish Khalifa Isimolis, to each of them he gave changes of clothing, okay? Gave them suits, garments, whatever it is, you know, that he gave them. So each one got, but Ul Binyamin to Benjamin, Nosan Chamesh Khalifos, he gave 5 changes of clothing. So they ask the question. They say, "Efshad Dover, should it start by Oisad Tzadik? Yekoshabo, we need the next page." Okay. Here's the next page over here. See, I have bandages on my fingers, and a little difficult for me to handle these things. Okay. All right. So, what they're saying over here, he says, "Efshad Dovish and Sarbo Yosin Sadek." That's the last line on the Tezayin Omen Aleph. It says, "Is it possible that something that brought so much sorrow, that brought so much pain, anguish to that Sadek?" And of course, who is the tzaddik? The answer is, in this case, Yosef. What happened? Yosef was sold into slavery in Egypt as a result of what? The favoritism, right? Shown by his father to him. Okay? So the Gemara asked the following questions. Yekoshe bo, should he therefore stumble by it? In other words, by doing what? By giving Benjamin 5 changes of clothing as compared to 1 change of clothing for the other brothers. So in other words, he himself was a victim of the jealousy that was aroused because his father showed favoritism to him. So wasn't he concerned that his brothers would be aroused to jealousy by virtue of the fact that he's singling out his brother Benjamin as compared to the others? All right, but I'm asking you, I'm telling you what the Gemara says over here, okay? So it says, the Rabbi Rova Bar Machasya, so the explanation is given by Rova, the son of Machasya, or maybe Machasya is the name of a place where he came from, okay? Omar Rav Choma, who said in the name of Rav Choma Bar Guria, son of Guria, Omar Rav, who said in the name of Rav, says Bishvil Mishkal Shneis Loyim Melas Shehosef Yaakov LeYosef Mishar Echav Nizgalgel HaDovor VeYodu Avisenu LeMitzrayim, which means because of the fact that he gave 2 Sloyim extra worth of fine wool, Melas is the fine wool that Yaakov added on, you know, and gave as an addition, you know, to Joseph, as compared to his other brothers, things happened that, or the result was that what happened, that our ancestors had to go down to Egypt. This was the cause that did it. So why should he do the same thing with his brothers, right? So, Omer Rabbi Binyamin Bar Yefes. So Rabbi Binyamin, son of Yefes, Ramaz Remez, he says, you know what? he was hinting to him, she'osif bein lotzeis b'menu she'yisei m'lepnei ha'melech t'chamisha nevushei malchus. He says, he was hinting to Benjamin that the day would come when a descendant, Bain, of course, literally doesn't mean a son in this case, but it means a descendant, right? That a descendant would come from his, from him, who would go out before the king dressed in five royal garments. Shenemar, as the pasuk says in the beginning, what? Mordechai yotza, Mordechai went out, bilavush malchus, in a royal garment, right? Which is made Tacheles, Vechur, Sarchikputz, Viagomon, right? So it mentions all these different things. So in other words, he wore five different royal garments on him. So this was a remiss, this was a hint to Benjamin that the day would come when one of his descendants would get this royal honor. Okay. So since we're talking already about Yosef and Binyamin, so what happened? So what happened is, of course, that eventually Yosef and Binyamin, they recognize each other. Yosef, tells his brothers that I am Yosef, right? And then it's written, Vayipol al Tzavrei Binyamin Achiv. And he fell upon the necks, literally, of his brother Benjamin. Now, the reason why I translated his necks, because in Hebrew grammar, how do I say neck? The word is tzavar, okay? And therefore, it should have simply said al-tzavar, okay? Al-tzavaro, al-tzavar. Why does it say al-tzavrei, which means literally the next of? So that therefore, it lends itself to a drash, you understand? Whenever you have something unusual, it lends itself to a drash, okay? Now, what is the drash over here? It says, first the Gemara first asks the question, Kamet Savar Mahavolei, LeBinyamin, right? So how many necks did Binyamin have? So how about Rabbi Yamazu? So Rabbi Yamazu said, no, what it means is as follows. He says, Bocho al Shnei Mikdoshim Sha'asidin Liyoyz Bechelko Shel Binyamin. When the Beis HaMikdosh was built, in whose territory was it built? The answer is in Binyamin. Binyamin is just to the north of Yerushalayim, but the Beis HaMikdash was considered as belonging in the territory of Binyamin. Okay? So, in other words, what was Yosef mourning about? He was mourning about the two temples that would be built in the territory of Binyamin, and this is why it's written, that he fell, and Vayev, he wept for that, because he realized that sometime in the future both Batei Mikdash, both of the temples, would be destroyed. Okay. And then the pasuk continues. Vasil Lecharev, and they're going to be destroyed. Ubinyamin, why did he weep? Ubinyamin Bocha al Savarov, which is, the end of that pasuk, it continues the pasuk. Why did he weep on Joseph's necks, literally? So he says, Bocha al Mishkan Shiloh, She'osin liyos bechelko, so Yosef, liyosin lechorev. He wept because he also realized that there was going to be the tabernacle in Shiloh, and Shiloh is in the territory of Yosef. To be exact, it happens to be the territory of Ephraim, you understand? But after all, Ephraim is really part of Yosef, right? So he wept over the fact that the Mishkan would be built in the territory of Ephraim, the territory of Yosef, and would also be destroyed. Of course, this was destroyed, if you remember, by the Philistines in the battle that they waged before there was a king in Israel. This is at the beginning of Shmuel Aleph that we read that. Okay. Then it's written, Nechem Roos, and behold, let's see, Joseph says to his brothers, and behold, your eyes see, Viene Ochi Binyamin, also the eyes of my brother Benjamin sees. So Omar Rabbi Elozer, so Rabbi Elozer said, Omar Lahem, he said to them, כשם שאין בליבי על בניומי נוחי שלא היו בבחירתי, just as I have no anger against my brother Benjamin because he was never involved in selling me as a slave, right? So kach ein b'libi aleichem, so likewise I have nothing in my heart against you. In other words, I have no grudge against you. And then he assures them, kifi hamedaber aleichem, because my mouth is speaking to you. Kifi kein libi, just as what I say, so is in my heart. In other words, this is no double talk, okay? What I feel in my heart is what you hear coming out of my mouth. And then it's written after that in the story of Yosef, Ule'oviv sholach gezos asara chaborim. And Mitzrayim, and they were carrying from the goodies that we find in Egypt. So the question is, my Mitu Mitzrayim, what specially good things, you know, were being shipped to Yaakov Avinu from Egypt? So Rabbi Binyamin ben Yefes, so Rabbi Binyamin ben Yefes said, Omer Rabbi Elozer, the name of Rabbi Elozer, he said, Sholach lo yayin yoshen shedayel zekeinim noicha himenu. He sent them old wine. By the way, this is good, it's not bad, you know. Okay. Yeah, that the elders are very happy with. Okay. So, he sent them, in other words, what, 150 year old bottle of wine or something like that, right? Right. You know, you read sometimes about auctions that they have of wine, right? 100 years old, 150 years old, and it brings tremendous prices. So this is the kind of wine that he sent them. Yain Yoshin Shadas Kedim Noichalim. Okay. Then, what happened after that? So we read, you know, Vayelchu Gam Echo Vayiplun Fonov. And his brothers also went and they fell before him. Now this was after Yaakov Avinu, remember, had passed away, right? And they buried him in Ma'aras HaMachpelah, and then they came back to Egypt, and at this particular point, what did the brothers say to themselves? Maybe Yosef still hates us, right? Lu yistameinu Pharaoh, Lu yistameinu Yosef, right? That Joseph may still hate us for what we have done to them, and you know, now he'll get even with us, right? Okay, so what do we find? The brothers then, they went and they fell before him, right? And what did they say? They said, you know, that they will become his slaves, right? So Omar Rabbi Binyamin bar Yefes, Omar Rabbi Elazar, Hainu de Amrei Inshe, this is a proverb that people say, Talo be'idne segidle, when the fox is the master at this, and he has his time to be master, then you have to bow down to him. Talo b'ai, what about, you know, what are we talking about over here? The Talo, he says, b'tziruse ma'achwa. In other words, that, you know, when he is, for example, young, then he becomes a boss, and in other words, you have to listen to him. But Eli Yitmar, Hachi Yitmar. Now, obviously, they're not happy with this, because what do they say? They say, you know, that, what are you telling me? You're telling me that Yosef is a fox? That's not very complimentary. So maybe this is not the proper place to quote the proverb. We have a better place to quote the proverb. Itmo, we've learned by Yishtachu Yisrael al Rosh Hamito, that Yisrael, in other words, Jacob, bowed down at the head of the bed. Actually, who did he bow down to? He bowed down to his son Yosef, who was coming, you know, to visit him when Jacob was lying on his deathbed, right? So, Omer Rabbi Binyamin bar Yefes, Omer Rabbi Elozer, Tana b'Yidnei Segidle. So this is the proper place where to quote it, because at this particular point, you know, Joseph is the young man, right? But nevertheless, his father is bowing down to him, recognizing the royalty that Joseph represents. Okay. Incidentally, Rashi quotes this in the Talmud and Skidloi in reference to Vayishlach Yisrael. Does not quote it with the previous one that they quoted before. Okay? You take a look at the Chumash, we'll see. Okay. Now, then what happened? It's written, Vayinachim Osam Vayidavar Alibon, that Joseph comforted them and he spoke to their hearts. In other words, to assure them, you know, that he had no kindness to them, but rather, what did he say? If you remember, he said, you know, that all this was ordained by God, right? In other words, that people, many people, could be kept alive in the time of famine. This is why it happened. Okay. So, they're quoting his midrashim over here, right? Omer Rabbi Elazar, who said in Rabbi Elazar, he says, "Malamed shum alehem devorim shemiskablim nalev." He said to them things, you know, that they could accept in their hearts. Uma asor neiros lo yochlu lechamas nevechot, just as 10 candles could not extinguish 1 candle. Remember, he was the one candle in the dream, whereas there were 10 candles, in other words, really 10 stars, right? Bowing down to him, or actually there it says, Achadas are kofadim, right? But this is, anyway, it's a similar marshal that they're giving over here. So, likewise, it says, Der Echad, Ech Yochol Echabos E'atzoraneris. How could 1 candle extinguish 10 candles? In other words, you can be assured that I have nothing against you and that you are my brothers and I want to treat you right. Getting back to the Megillah, what happens? It says, like Yehudim, Hoyesahoyra, Vesimcha, Vesosim Yikor. And to the Jews, there was light and rejoicing and happiness and glory. All right. So, Omer Rav Yehuda, so Rav Yehuda says, let's take a look what these various words mean. Ora, Zu Torah. What do we mean by light? This means Torah. V'cheinu Omer, and likewise, we find another pasuk, not of course in the Megillah, this happens to be in the Mishnah, where it says, Ki ner mitzvah v'sora or. That a mitzvah is like a candle, like a light, right? And Torah is light. Okay? So from this we see that the Torah gives us light. Okay? So that's, pardon me?
I'm sorry. You see many institutions say Torah.
Yeah, right. Yeah, this is where the source over here. Right. Kidem is for Torah or, exactly. Right, yeah. Torah or Torah, and so on. Right. Yes, okay. Then how about, what is Simcha? Simcha, of course, Zayom Tov. In other words, the Jews made a holiday in order to celebrate the fact that they had been saved from destruction. V'cheinu Omer, likewise we see, what v'somachta v'chagecha, you are to rejoice in your festival, alright? So that we see that so far over means that now had the ability once more to do what? To learn Torah. They also had now a yontif to celebrate. And soson, what is soson? Joy, rejoicing. He says, Zumila, this is the means that they had now the opportunity to perform circumcision. Bris Mila, okay? The chen hu omer, and likewise it is written, soson ochi ali mosecha, kimotze shalom roth. This is the end of the pasuk, which means, David HaMelech says, I rejoice over your word, right, as one who finds great spoil. Now, we quote this at the time of Ebris, this one of these psukim that we quote, so the implication over here is what? The implication is that Haman not only wished to decree death to the Jews, but even prior to that, A, he had prohibited the study of Torah, so now this is why Lagun Moisa Ora, right? He had prohibited the celebration of Jewish festivals, so this is Simcha. Sasan, he had prohibited having circumcision, right? And there's one more. What is Yikor? So he says Yikor, glory, says Eilu Tefillin. He had also tried to outlaw the practice of wearing tefillin. V'chein hu omer, because likewise it says, we have a pasuk which says, V'ra'u kol ami ha'oretz kishem ad Hashem nikro lecha v'yora'u mimecha. And all the nations of the world, we see that the name of the Lord is to be found upon you, and they will have respect for you. Literally, they will fear you. It doesn't mean they'll fear you, but it really means that they'll have respect for you. And Tanya, and we have learned Rabbi Elazar Gunalaymer, Rabbi Elazar the Great said, Eilu tefillin shebarosh. All right? These are the tefillin that we put on our head. You'll ask why the tefillin on the head and not on the arm. But the answer is, technically, the tefillin on the arm, the bottom over here, the box, should be covered. Could be covered with a talus, it could be covered with a jacket or a sweater or something like that, you understand? But technically, it should be covered because it's private, so to speak. It's next to your heart, okay? But the tefillin on the head, this is a sign to everyone that you're proud to be a Jew and you're proud to put on your tefillin. So this is the reason why it says, V'yikor, glory, what is the glory? The glory is that you wear tefillin and you do so openly and you feel proud of it. All right, now as you know, Haman had how many sons? We know 10, right. We had Gemara's, if you remember, the other week that multiplied it, right? One said he had 30, another one went to get an astronomic figure, how many sons he had, and so on and so forth. But in the Gemara, in the Megillah, they only mentioned 10, okay. And it mentions them by name. Parshadosa, Dalfan, Asposa, Vaizosa, etc., etc., okay? All right. So, he says, Aseres b'nei Haman, when we read the 10 sons of Haman, he says, Omar Rav Odo de min Yafo, so Rav Odo who came from Yafo said, Aseres b'nei Haman, the 10 sons of Haman, Vaseres, and the word Aseres, Zorech l'meminhu b'neshim rachas, you have to say them all in one breath. All right. Okay, my Tama, for what reason? He says, "Kulhu b'hadei adoni nafka nishmaisa," because their souls departed at the same time. Okay, so therefore, with one breath, you should say it. According to Halacha, you try to do it. You have to catch your breath in between you for a bit. Okay. Over Rabbi Yochanan said, okay, since we're talking about that passage, he says, Vav devayezosa, zarech lemim techo beskifa, kimordaya delivros. He says that the Vav of the name Vayezosa has to be standing up straight as if it were a mordaya delivros. The question is, what is mordaya delivros? So there are different opinions as to what it means exactly. Looking for what Rashi had to say over here. Thought Rashi had a word. Okay. I'll tell you, one interpretation is that it means that it should stand up straight like the mast on a ship. This is one interpretation, okay? In other words, it shouldn't be like this, but it should be like this. It should stand up straight, okay? Pardon me? As I say, that means the mast on the ship, right. My Tama, so for what reason? He says, Kuhu bechatz kifa as the kifu. says because they were all propped up on one prop. Now, I don't know what it means. I think what it, he wants to say over here is that, you know, the gallows was so high, you know, 50 cubits, so as a result, they were hung, you know, one, you know,
all on the same,
all on the same one, right. Amar Rabbi Chanina bar Papa, Rabbi Chanina bar Papa, Dorash Rabbi Shaila, said that Rabbi Shaila gave the following interpretation, and he was Ish Kefar Tabarta, came from the village of Tabarta. He says, Kol Hashiros Kulon Nichtovis Ariach Hagabi Leveino, Uleveino Hagabi Ariach, Kutz Mishirazu Umalchik Nan. Ariach al gabi Ariach, Levina al gabi Levina. All right. In order to understand this, it's not easier to say in the Kodesh, but maybe no, this one will have it that way. So, have it on the scripture. No, this one doesn't print it that way. But so if I would take a chumash, you'll take a look and you see that there is an arrangement that you have a word here, and under here, again, here, underneath, over there. In other words, there's always a space. Space here, with a word. The next line would have a word, a space, and a word, and so on, so that it looks, you know, like this in the arrangement. And this is true for Shiras Devorah, as well as for Oz Yashir, okay? It's also true in Shmuel Beis at the end, where it's like, Daber David on Hashem Yisivi Asher Azos, that, you know, David also sang a song to the Lord, you know, to celebrate his victories and so on. So those shiros are written in that form. However, he says here it is written simply, there's a word and underneath again just the word, and so in other words, okay, so that in other words they do not have two columns instead of like three columns, yeah, going down. Correct, exactly what it is. That, and he says also in the book of Joshua, where they have a listing of the kings of Canaan who Joshua conquered, so also it's a similar arrangement.
When we see the names of the sons,
yeah,
it's referring to the names of the sons here?
Yeah, the names of the sons. You'll take a look in the Megillah.
The
yes,
yeah.
If I would show you the Megillah,
yeah,
you would see.
They are listed,
right,
in two
it's
columns.
It's Parshat Nosa,
yeah,
it's Nothing, it's
yeah,
Asbosa,
yeah,
etc., 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 etc. Okay, yeah.
The printed version that we have, it's all just one column. You're saying the actual Megillah?
No,
it's
I've seen
column.
It.
Megillah,
it's two
see.
Columns.
Ace,
it's two columns.
Parshat Nosa.
It's two columns.
The ace,
yeah,
and so on.
Yeah,
the ace,
definitely two columns.
The ace,
yeah,
and
yeah,
another name.
Yeah.
The ace,
yeah,
and another name. This is the way it goes. Ace here.
Yeah.
Name here, ace here.
Yeah.
You know, they don't put them together like this, but instead, ace, space, ace, and the name.
Yeah.
Parshat Nosa, Balfour, Sponsor, etc., etc., okay?
Wait, now I'm getting confused. Two columns are comprised of what?
It's 10 names.
But
one is the word ace, the ace, the ace, the ace, the ace.
That's what I thought.
Okay,
that's,
yeah,
one column.
That's
the
one column,
column,
right.
The
and the other one are the individual names.
That's
okay?
Yeah,
yeah. And the same thing he says is true, where in the book of Joshua they enumerate the names of the kings whom Joshua defeated in battle. Also, this king, right? Ace.
So they're differentiating
bit, yeah,
between the way songs are printed.
Correct.
And the way these are.
Right,
are,
right, absolutely. I'll tell you what's puzzling to me, however. And that is that Ha'azinu, which is Moses' last song, is also written the same way.
How? Is it in columns?
Two columns.
In two columns?
Yeah. But they don't comment on that. So of us also.
That's interesting. Why would that be different than the other Psalms?
I don't know. Yeah. I do not know. Okay? Yeah. All right. It's just one of these oddities, you know. Okay. All right. Yes. My tongue, okay. Om Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa, Dorish Rabbi Shelo, Yishkapach Samarato, right? Yeah, right. This is the one that we just read. Riach, okay. All right. Riach is a half brick, and Levenu is a full brick. In other words, a longer line, right, is the Levenu, and Riach is the shorter line, half the length, okay. But as I explained, here, space here. Okay? Space, wording, space. And then again, wording, space, and so on. This is the way the arrangement is. Okay?
It's interesting they call them bricks because it's the way bricklaying is done.
Yeah, correct.
Bricklaying
exactly
is
right.
Done exactly like that.
You're right. Exactly that, of course. I mean, they're there for me. Right. All right. And now he says, my Tama, what is the reason that we find that, you know, both the listing of the kings who were conquered by Joshua and the 10 sons of Haman? So he says, Shalotahe to Kumonama Paltan, says to make sure that they don't rise again after their defeat. Okay. Then after that we find, Vayoma HaMelech Li Esther HaMalko, right, that the king said to Queen Esther, the Shushan Habira, in Shushan, the capital, Horgu HaYehudim, the Jews killed, all right? And it mentions, if you remember, how many were killed over there. So Amar Rabbi Abohu said, Melame Shibor Malach Mustori Al Piv. Okay? We find that it teaches us that a Malach came and gave him a patch in his mouth. In other words, he was all ready to do what? To denounce the Jews for taking revenge upon their enemies and killing so many and so forth. But the Malach prevented him from saying these things. All right. Then it's written, though Alefnei HaMelech, and when she came before the king, Omar, so he said, Yim HaSefer, together with the book, right? So it says, Omar, what does it say? He said, Umrah bin Boyle should be what she said. In other words, it should be Esther is the one who said it, right? Not he said. So Umrah Rabbi Yochanan, Umrah lo, so Rabbi Yochanan says, you know what she said to him? She said to him, Yomar b'feh ma'ashekosa b'sefer. Let him, meaning the king of course, say with his mouth what is written in the book itself. And what is written over there is written Divrei Shalom ve'emes, words of peace and truth. Omer Rabbi Tantchum, Amilo Omer Rabbi Asi. So Rabbi Tantchum said, and there are those who say it was Rabbi Asi, the Lami that teaches us what? Shetzricho Shirtut Ka'amito Shel Torah. That the Megillah that we write has to be lined even as a Sefer Torah, you know, as and truth is a Sefer Torah. Right. Now, what do we mean by that? If you would take a look at the parchment, okay, you would find that whether it is a Sefer Torah or whether it is the Megillah, the Sofer has to take, like a ruler and a stylus, and he makes a line. And then he does that going down the page and so on. And then that way he can space the letters properly. Okay? The shartet or the sartet, either one. Yeah. The shartet is to make a line. To make a line, right. The truth of the matter is, it's probably related to the word saratis that we find in Sefer Vayikra, where it speaks about the Kanim Viv Soro, right? Lo Yaseh Sarotas, that when he is in mourning, he should not make literally a rip or a line or something like that. So probably the two words are related. But we usually say shirtut. Okay, mishartet and so on and so forth. All right, but it means to make ley lines, okay? So he says the Megillah has to have the same sanctity in this respect as a Sefer Torah, in that it also has to be lined by the Sofer.
That almost answers my question about the treatment of the Megillah.
Yeah, right, right.
That's what I was questioning at the beginning.
Yeah. In
the end, again, when you read the Megillah, you don't need to use a pointer. They weren't using a pointer. You were actually putting your finger on the text.
Yeah. Okay. Let me explain. Tradition says you read it like a letter, which means that you take it and you put it in folds and you read a fold at a time, okay? Instead of having it, on rollers. The Megillahs did not have rollers. Unless somebody makes a roller for them, but they're not supposed to have, okay? The Megillahs should be read. There should not be any rollers on the Megillah, okay? So therefore, you can fold it up like this and so on and so forth, and that's the way I read it. Or that's the way it's traditionally meant. Okay. All right. I see it's 9 o'clock. All right, we'll go on for a couple of more minutes. We'll call it a night over here because my voice is just about given out anyway. All right. Yes, now it's written in Maamaris there, Kiyan. And these words that Esther said, confirmed what? Confirmed the fact that Jews should celebrate Purim. Okay? Ma'amar Esther in Divrei HaTzomer Shloi, what? We should only observe the celebration of Purim and forget about the fasting? Omer Rabbi Yochanan, so Rabbi Yochanan said, Divrei HaTzomer Ma'amar Esther Kiyam. So you have to read the pasuk Divrei HaTzomos first, what happened, about the fasting, and then the words of Esther, which confirmed Esyimei HaPurim Ha'ela, these days that we are to celebrate Purim. All right, we'll do one more line or two. It says Ki Mordechai HaYehudi Mishneh LaMelech HaShveirosh the Godol LaYehudim the Rotsu in the Rov Echov. Okay. The last line of the Megillah runs as follows. Because Mordechai the Jew was second to King Achashverosh, right? And he was great among the Jews, and he was acceptable to most of his brethren, to the majority of his brethren. Okay. So the Gemara says, the Rov Echov and the Olachon Echov. Why does it say to the majority of his brothers and not he was acceptable, he was beloved by all his brothers? So he says, Malamed, it teaches us, Shepershu Menem Mikzat Sanhedrin, that some of the members of the Sanhedrin, they turned aside from him. They were not happy with what he had done. Okay, I think I'll stop at this point tonight, and then we'll resume, and as you can see, we're practically at the end of the first chapter of Megillah, and then we go into the halachas that continue about the reading of the Megillah. Okay. Okay, tonight is the, what is it, the 5th? 6th of March already.
6th of March.
Geshrin. Where did the month go to? It's going too fast. It means Pesach is coming too soon.
The sixth
already. There is, yeah. Monday was the 4th. That's correct. Right. So there's the 6th. Okay. 6th of March in the year 2002. We are currently at the bottom of the Maseches Megillah, Daf Tes Zayin, Amud Beis. In other words, 16b. At the very end, we have just a few more lines to finish up over there. And the question with which we concluded last week was the statement which says that Mordechai was Ratzui L'Rov Echov, that he was acceptable or he was liked by the majority of his brethren. But the question is, why doesn't it say was beloved by all his brethren. So the last statement that we learned last week was that Melamed Shapir Shulimenu Mikza Sanhedrin. We learned from this that some of the members of the Sanhedrin, they separated themselves from him. In other words, they were not very happy with what he did. So the question is, why? So this is what now they give an answer. It says, Omar Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef says, Godol Talmud Torah, Yosef Me'atzos Nefoshes. He says, the study of Torah is more important than even saving human lives. This in itself is a difficult statement, because I'll come back to it in a moment. Okay, well, I'm just quoting you right now what it says, what Rav Yosef has to say, and why he says what he says. Okay, he brings proof from two passages that we find in the book of Ezra. Okay, or as Ezra and Nehemiah. Once upon a time, something Ezra and Nehemiah were considered one book rather than two different books, but afterwards they made a division between them. Okay, so at any rate, it says the Miyakura, to begin with, Choshev Zerubbabel, Yeshua, Nehemiah, Saraya, Raadia, Mordechai, Bilsha. Okay? The order of people who came back with Zerubbabel, you know, they came together with Zerubbabel, the following dignitaries, so to speak, luminaries, dignitaries, whatever you want to call them. Choshev mentioned, okay? Yeshua, that's number one. Nehemiah is two. Sraya is number three. Right? Ra'adya is four. And lo and behold, where is Mordechai? He's in fifth place over here, right? Okay. Believe so. And then, and a later enumeration, Ksiv, we find out Haboyim and Zerubbabel, who were those who came together with Zerubbabel. We have Yeshua, one.